Patriots Football Weekly is delivered to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Better matters.
Well, guys, the week started with a great win over the Bills. You got a three-game lead in the AFC East now. But then, Jamie Collins, and that kind of stole the show.
Yeah, it was crazy, the transition, because you were going into the bye week, just calm waters, Tom Brady's rolling, 7-1, best team in football. Nice, quiet bye week, and then pull the plug on the grenade.
Yeah, this is one of those that was really stunning. I don't think anybody saw this coming. I don't think anybody had any inkling of it. And, you know, it comes out Monday afternoon, and people start talking about, yeah, like Andy said, a 7-1 team that is completely on top of the NFL, why the need to get rid of such a key player? We'll find out exactly why, you know, in the future. But right now, it was just completely overwhelming.
Well, it's been talked about all week, and I think there's a lot of theories. But I think the general consensus is this had less to do with how he was playing on the field and more to do with stuff behind the scenes that we don't have the info, but that's why they decided to pull the plug so quickly.
Yeah, I think Devin McCourty said right here on Comcast, you know, maybe your best defensive player. And he's had some injuries and different things, whatever the role. He didn't play as much against the Bills, but he's still a talented guy with upside.
Bill Belichick's comments earlier in the week on Monday on the radio, giving up 25 points to the Bills. Bill's not happy with this defense. And, you know, Collins was part of that defense, but there's more to it than that when you look at the overall defense. And, you know, you've got this bye week now to do some self-scouting, but I don't think that they're happy with the defense, and I'm sure that there are serious corrections they want to make going into this Seattle game.
Right, but you don't perform better by taking away maybe your best athlete or, as McCourty said, your best defender. There's more to it than that.
Sure.
Guys miss tackles. Guys miss assignments. It happens. And he's not all that is the problem.
No. You know,
third down defense, not all on him. Coverage, not all on him.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Lack of pass rush, not all on him.
It's not just him.
Right, but he was the guy who paid the price, apparently.
Yeah, well, he paid the price for the stuff he was in charge of.
And that's why I feel it was off the field. But the bigger picture here, I agree with you, Fred. Bill led off the week on Monday by talking, I think he used the word disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
He's disappointed in the way the defense has played. And this sort of is in line with the three of us have been talking. Yes, the numbers are pretty solid defensively. The points allowed have been down, but what our eyes have showed us or told us is that it hasn't been great defensively. They've had some sort of pedestrian offenses that they've played that have been able to move the ball at times. They've had trouble getting off the field consistently on third down, and they've been having trouble in the red zone consistently. Those two things, the last couple of weeks, ironically, have been a little bit better. But I think Bill's looking big picture, and I think he knows where he wants to be and is not sure if this defense can do it.
I think setting the edge has been a major issue
on
outside runs. And then it's turned into longer runs where they, you know, a safety misses a tackle or something and it becomes a longer run down the edges. I think the edges have not been good enough as well as, you know, the linebacker.
Yeah, there's been good support play from guys like Patrick Chung in those types of situations. But I think overall Bill thinks we can be better than this.
Right.
With the personnel we have.
I still get back to when I see Brady moving the way he's moving in the pocket and making some of the throws he's making and Gronkowski beating coverage and Hogan getting behind receivers, the offense is as intriguing as it's been. And their ability to score points, to me, is where this team's going to go. Last year you faded. Why? Because you had injuries to Gronk and Edelman, and the offense took a major step back.
Yeah.
I think if Brady and Gronkowski and these guys stay healthy, this offense can carry you to February.
I give a lot of respect to the Rex Ryan defense, and I think at times in that game on Sunday, they did give the Patriots trouble. They still scored 41 points. You just can't stop this offense.
It's never going to be just a simple blowout. I know everybody kind of measures 07 where it was over before it started. You're up 21-0 and you cruise every week. Okay, they're not that. But they're the best offense in football. When I look around the league at other teams and their issues and the things they fail at, I think this Patriots team's as good as any all around in football.
Well, you know, you can't mention the offense without mentioning Rob Gronkowski. The guy has been an absolute beast.
Yep, record-setting now, right? It's official. Scores touchdowns more than anyone else in Patriots history. 69, appropriately, that he got in Buffalo. And I thought he handled it very maturely.
Oh,
with
yeah.
A nice bow and spike for the hometown crowd. But no, he's dominating, and it just continues to amaze me how often you see him one-on-one in the middle of the field and then pulling away from a cornerback.
Yeah, well, that's
I know he's not the world's greatest cornerback, but he caught the ball and pulled away from a cornerback.
To me, that's two things. It's Brady being able to extend these plays despite pressure, but also the weapons they have, you can't cover everybody on every play. And they're making defense will occasionally make a decision. They'll make a mistake. He'll be free. And he's got over 20 yards a catch.
It's 22 yards a catch. Silly. He's in Stanley Morgan land.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, ironic that he's the record that he broke. But Stanley Morgan was the ultimate deep threat wide receiver. This is a tight end who consistently gets down the field, down the seam, in that play that Andy's describing on Nickell Robey Coleman. And it's a mismatch. I mean, he just ran away from him. You shouldn't be able to be that fast at that size.
Except the Bills say he's not that good.
Yeah, I know.
The Bills had plenty to say afterwards, some ridiculous comments out of Buffalo that Gronk's not that good.
And now it's going to be interesting to see, you know, we talked about with or without Collins, it's going to be okay. And now everybody wants to talk about the stuff off the field that you mentioned. But you said that we're all in agreement that it's not football. And I think the three of us are. Yeah. It's not just about football. This is about other stuff. But all the stuff in social media that you're talking about, now all of a sudden he can't stop the run, Jamie Collins. He can't rush the passer. Right. He can't cover.
He freelances.
What was I watching?
3 weeks ago I thought he did all of those things.
What was I watching the last 3.5 years? I do think he lacked consistency.
Well, you mentioned social media. It was amazing how as soon as this trade hit, how you could go to social media and get that immediate reaction. And not just from fans, from influencers. Who are supposed experts don't have to wait until the 6 o'clock news anymore. They can go right on and get their opinion heard. And like you said, it was all over the place.
And even players, not just media people or fans. A lot of players, whether they were Patriots players, were clearly surprised. A lot of players around the league were reacting and, you know, guys saying, wow, top five linebacker traded and different things. And, you know, just the immediacy of the Twitter and that stuff. And Mike Lombardi led the way, has a sort of an inside guy, you know, a former Patriots staffer who's now offering his opinions. It was fascinating, and no one has all the information, and that's what made the Twitter so interesting. There were little bits coming out.
Freddie, you loved it, right? Big day for the NFL.
Sure.
You love trades.
Sure.
Trades good for the league.
It's good for the league.
Or is it good for the Patriots?
I don't know if it's good for ratings. We'll see.
Today's show is brought to you in part by WB Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but WB Mason? Fisher Plows, a whole new way to attack winter. And also brought to you in part by AT&T. AT&T, mobilizing your world.
No matchup to look at this week at From the Heart, so we're going to look inside the heart of any good football team. That's the offensive line. That is the key to everything that happens up front, and we've seen it be an issue in recent weeks and, quite frankly, all season long. Patriots have allowed 17 sacks. That was 9 with the young quarterbacks, 8 with Tom Brady, including 4 last week. But the pressure has been more than that. Brady was running for his life sort of each of the last 3 games, especially early in the games. He made the best of it. They won. But the bottom line is that Dante Scarnecchia's crew needs to be better. Probably not going to be any personnel changes. That means Nate Solder, you need to be the leader at left tackle. You need to be better. Young guys in the middle, experience should make you better. Everyone up front needs to do their job.
A couple of weeks ago, I talked about the number 3 cornerback job and who was going to fill that role. Well, now it looks like it's a much bigger problem than even I thought. It looks like there's an open competition for the number 2 job opposite Malcolm Butler. Logan Ryan was the starter, but the last couple of weeks, Eric Rowe has gotten the nod, and he hasn't exactly played very well. Bill Belichick talked earlier in the week about really all 3 guys, because you throw Justin Coleman into the mix. They're all playing well in practice. They all deserve playing time, but really so far none of those 3 has been able to really seize the role. And I think potentially down the road, when you start seeing better quarterbacks potentially in the playoffs, a guy like Ben Roethlisberger, you're going to need to have an answer opposite Malcolm Butler. Right now they have none.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
Midway through the season, that means it's time for a trash talk about the midseason MVP, Paul Perillo, 8 games done. Who you got?
I got an easy one. I got Tom Brady, and I really don't even think it's close. You look at the performance that he's had, even though he's only played in half of the games. 12 touchdowns, no picks. The offense has completely taken off to an all-new level since he's returned to the lineup, and he's needed to because the defense, I think, has taken a step back during that same period. So for me, it's a pretty easy equation. It's Tom Brady.
This is funny because I'm arguing Tom Brady's going to win the NFL MVP in just 12 games, and you've sort of poo-pooed that idea. I poo-poo the idea of giving him the award for the half-season Patriots because he missed four of the games, and you won three of those games. I need to sort of account for that in this debate. And what I'm left with, it's not Bennett because he's sort of faded. He was good early, he's faded. Gronk, sort of like Gronk, has come on late. You know what I'm left with? LeGarrette Blount.
Tom Brady.
LeGarrette Blount. 8 games in. How many touchdowns does he have? 9 touchdowns. Career high, he's approaching in carries. He's going to blow away his previous career high. He's doing the job for you. And I look mostly back to the 4-game stretch where he was the AFC Offensive Player of the Month for September, working with 2 first-time starters, leading the NFL in carries, leading the NFL in rushing, 20-plus carries a game. You needed to balance out your offense, and who did you lean on? The big guy. Blount got it done.
Yeah, I think Blount's been fine, but I think you just rattled off the stats there, and he has 9 touchdowns in 8 games, and Tom Brady has 12 in 4. So who has played better? And to me, that's
rushing
Brady.
Touchdowns, passing touchdowns, a little
different. Yeah, I know. It's a lot easier to come by a rushing touchdown.
Not really.
Yeah.
No, what's the rushing touchdown record compared to the passing touchdown record? About twice as many for the passing touchdowns.
You're usually handing the ball off to a guy at the 1-yard line.
That makes sense.
And that's generally what Blount has done. But again, I'm not taking anything away from him. I just look at the offense and look at the team. I think the team has catapulted itself into another level since
Brady's come back. The October MVP, I agree, Tom Brady.
No, and well, you can look at it that way. I look at it where the team is now as opposed to where it was in September, and I think it was sort of middling. Other than the first half of the Miami game, I never thought the offense was playing anywhere near a level with Blount doing all the things that you talked about that it is now. And the one game that was sort of quote-unquote down in the 3 games that Brady played, the 4 games that Brady played, was the game that Blount was the focal point of the offense. So to me,
well, when they didn't have a quarterback
Brady,
at all,
Brady is much more important to the offense, even though he's only played half the games.
But this isn't about who's more important to the offense. That's Tom Brady every time. There's no debate there. The debate is, can you give a guy an award for 8 games after only 4 games? He skipped 4, and the other guy, by the way, has been good. LeGarrette Blount is having a career year. What you needed was balance. You needed attempts more than yards. You needed to balance out the offense. Now, he got some yards at various times. He wore defenses down, would spring a big 41-yard run late to kind of boost the production. There's no question about that. But I also look at, he's also had a 127-yard effort with Tom Brady. Defenses knew they were going to balance it out and try to run the ball. You had 2 first-time starters at quarterback.
I don't think
including
he ran the ball as well as you think he did.
Who had a thumb injury, who couldn't even throw. He gave you the carries you needed to put together a game plan. And the value of a guy on a team is what? Help you win. It's not about scoring 35 points or 50 points. It's about helping you win.
See,
no one has helped this team win more through 8 games than LeGarrette Blount.
If he did
Don't
what
hate,
you said,
recognize.
If he did what you said he did in the game that Jacoby Brissett had the bad thumb, that's when they needed him, when they knew he was going to run, and he got nothing in that game, and they got shut out.
There were a lot of issues that day.
If he did it in that game, I would relent.
Wow. Brady wins on 4 games. Blount could have won it on 1 game. I'm looking at 8 games.
They relied
on
Blount in that game. You talk about the 127 yards against the Steelers. He was an afterthought for Pittsburgh.
The offensive
line well in that game.
Has not
when
been
they
great.
Needed him, he did nothing.
That's ridiculous. When they needed Brady, he did nothing because he wasn't there 4 times.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. Also brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL is brought to you by Nissan.
The Dallas Cowboys should not, and I think will not, replace Dak Prescott with Tony Romo. With Prescott, the Cowboys are 6-1, coming off a big win over the Eagles in a battle of rookie quarterbacks. And it's not like the Cowboys have been winning despite Prescott. He has a 99.6 rating on the season, with 9 passing touchdowns, 4 rushing against only 2 picks. He's completing passes at a 65.2% clip. So the Cowboys are in the perfect situation. Keep riding Prescott. If his play begins to deteriorate or he hits the rookie wall, in comes Romo on his white horse. When Romo gets hurt, and there's a better than good chance of that, Prescott gets a second shot, having had time to take a breather. Just because no one in Dallas expected what they're getting from Prescott doesn't mean it can't continue. Keep riding that horse.
player's perspective. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Joining me now at Gillette Stadium, Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski. Rob, before we talk about the bye week, I just want to look back real quick. In Buffalo, 69th touchdown. How enjoyable was that, and how cool is it to own a record?
It's super cool. It's definitely an honor. And what was cool about it was Stanley Morgan called me after the game and congratulated me. And it's just a really cool accomplishment. And I definitely couldn't do it without my teammates and all the coaches giving me all the opportunities. But it's something that is cool. You cherish it for a little bit, but you got to look at the bigger picture. And it's more about the team and week to week and just going out there and getting the wins every week, which is definitely more important.
I think the interesting thing is when you think of Stanley Morgan, he was a big play receiver. I think he averaged like 24 yards a catch one year. You're averaging 22 yards a catch right now. How do you do that from the tight end position?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just going out there and running the routes that are called, that the coaches are calling, and also just working hard in practice. When you catch the ball, doing a couple little extra moves, giving a little burst, so when the game time comes, you're used to that, getting the little yardage after catch in the game, doing it out of practice first. So just basically hard work, getting open, and just everything falling in place.
And when we see you run away from a cornerback for a touchdown, is that some bragging rights within the team or within the room that you did that?
A little bit. I mean, some people start chirping if I'm slow or something. I mean, maybe I'll bring it up that I ran past a corner or something. So a little bit, but nothing too serious.
So now that we are in the bye week, what does that mean for you football-wise, but also personal life-wise? How do you balance the two, getting away but staying ready to play?
Mentally and physically-wise, during the season, you got to be strong on both sides. Just week in, week out, the grind, the hitting, just everything. So it's always a good time when you get a little time off for a few days. Take mentally and physically off, but also make sure you're ready. Do what you got to do on your downtime so when you come back, you're ready to roll.
So we've seen the Gronk cruise. We've seen you in Halloween masks enjoying Halloween. How do you enjoy the bye weekend?
I'm not sure yet, man. No, we just got finished with practice. We got some meetings left, and, you know, just stay relaxed. Stay cool.
A beach somewhere?
Hopefully. I like the sun. Get a little sun whenever you can. Get away from the cold weather. Get the sun and feel good.
Okay, now we are airing on Friday night this week. We got bumped from our Thursday slot by a pretty good athlete that you might have heard on, LeBron James playing the Celtics. And everybody says he could be an NFL tight end. Could LeBron James be an NFL tight end?
He's a great athlete, but I feel like he could be. The way he moves out there on the basketball court for his size, the way he can jump, I feel like that if he definitely can translate onto the football field, that'd be cool.
Who would be better, Gronk on an NBA court or LeBron on a football field?
Oh, man, you can't be putting me on the spot like that, but I don't know. We'll have to see. I mean, I'd love to see him out in pads. That'd be pretty cool.
Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
All right, it's that time in the show to answer your questions, but first, the Wilson Hart Power Index.
2 weeks was worth the wait for you, Fred. Why? Because the New England Patriots get the nice little number one ranking atop all of football. Not only are they atop all of football, 4.667, well ahead of the Minnesota Vikings at 7.167. And
Minnesota's number two.
Minnesota
well,
is number two.
I'm curious to see how far up Buffalo has moved after winning.
Buffalo has dropped all the way down to the eighth spot from four. Eighth so, Paul, that happens. The Cleveland Browns have overtaken the bottom spot. The fact that they just can't win a single game has allowed the Jets to move to 31.
This first one comes from Inez Perez.
That rhymes.
Yeah. And she wants to know, what do the players do during the bye week?
That's a great question. Yeah. I have virtually no idea. No, I would assume that a lot of them...
Italy?
It's one of the only times that they get a chance to sort of just unwind on a weekend. And I know the team itself will do a lot of self-scouting, the coaches, the scouts, the personnel department in that regard. But I think you see the players take vacations a lot. A lot of them like to go back to their schools, catch a college game from their alma mater. I don't think there's any set set course of action, but it's one time that they can just sort of unwind on a weekend.
And some of them probably do boring things because they have kids that are in school.
Yard work.
Well, yeah. I mean, the kids and their wife, it's not any different. Just because you suddenly have a week off doesn't mean we're going to change everything for you.
All right. Brian Robley from Winthrop wants to know, or he says, Steven Goskowski had a good game in Buffalo.
Nailed him.
Does that mean we don't have to worry anymore?
That's exactly what that means. I seriously believed this is what he needed. Just a game. Yes, I know he kind of doinked one in, but 51 yarders. He made it. The other guy didn't. It was key in the game. And I think it was key for him to build some momentum moving forward. He made all his kicks. I think that's something to build on.
I'm still monitoring the situation. I don't want to replace him. I never wanted to replace him. But I did think it was interesting that during the bye week, Bill Belichick chose to have some kickers in, a kicker, a punter, and a long snapper.
Wide receiver,
the specialists are definitely on the list of things that he wants to evaluate. Just updating his information, nothing serious. Great first step for Kostowski, though, because I do think it's so mental. That practice of kicking is so mental. It's nice to see him have a perfect week.
And, by the way, on a rainy, windy, cold
Not a great day to kick.
Okay. Timmy Piscarelli writes in. He says that he still thinks that Julian Edelman isn't 100%.
I still have questions. I do. I still have questions about his burst, his kind of side-to-side quickness and coming in and out of breaks. I still don't think he breaks as many tackles as he did. And certainly his yards per catch were a little bit up, but they're still not where I want them to be. I know he got in the end zone. Well, I still have questions about that if that had been reviewed.
I think that could have gone either way with the call on the field.
Correct. Yeah. That was close. But I'd like to see him show me a little more burst, and I hope it's coming down the road.
Yeah, I agree with Andy. I'm a little concerned about the lack of explosiveness after the catch, but I do think what he gave you on Sunday is certainly good enough. I think that's the fine complement to the offense that slot position has been. As long as you have Gronkowski down the slot, down the seam rather, to do some of the things that he does, I think that's plenty offensively. There's a lot of firepower on offense.
All right. Well, that's this week's questions. Every week, send them to askpfw@patriots.com.